Welcome to Which Game First, where we explore the hilariously huge world of board games. Did we find any hidden treasures you've been missing out on? Let's find out. First up this week, we puff out our feathered chests for mating season as we scoop up seeds for the win in Peep Mats. Next up, we scramble for woodland resources to help our little furry friends thrive in Tiny Towns. And lastly, we dodge dragons and trolls to build Lux castles in forbidden territories in Kingdoms. I'm your host, Celeste DeAngelis, here with my decades-long gaming buddies, Evan Bernstein.
Hi, everyone.
Ed Povilaitis.
Hi, let's play with old meeples.
And Mike Grenier.
Tweet, tweedly-dee.
Tweedly-dee-dee.
I know that song.
Yeah, you know what's up.
Our first game up this week is Peep Mats, Little Songbirds, designed by Ben Pinchback and Matt Riddle. Published by Lookout Games in 2018, number of players 2 to 4, ages 10 and up, playtime 30 minutes. Hey, Mike, what's in the box?
The cover of the box shows a cute little birdie peeping his fuzzy head into a minimalistic sepia forest. In equally simple fashion, we find just 110 cards inside, and that's what's in the box.
Well, before we tell you if this game flew high or laid an egg, Evan, peck open the rules.
Peep Mats, it's a set collection card game where players are playing bird cards from their hand to collect seeds and birds at a bird feeder. Seeds and birds coupled in your collection are worth points. Single birds only score if you have the most of their species. Now, each turn, a player will add a bird to the line at the bird feeder. The bird closest to the feeder, that's the one that's feeding right now, a player can collect that feeding bird by placing a card in the line. And if the number values of all those birds waiting in the line, if it becomes greater than the one actually feeding, you collect the feeding bird card, and along with some seed cards as well. The bird cards can also be collected by playing a lower value card on that line, and then you take a different card from your hand and you put that one into your collection. Now, each bird card and each seed card have one, two, or three eggs on it. So the player who has the most eggs of a specific species of birds at the end of the game are going to score the victory points for that particular species. Those mating pairs, yep, if you get two of the exact same species and two of the exact same number, that's a mating pair. That scores your bonus points. But also, as you're collecting these cards, beware of the squirrels and crows. You might have to pick those up along the way, and they're going to eat some of your seed cards.
Boo.
Along some of your eggs. Yep. When the seed card pile runs down, the game ends, add up your points, and the winner becomes the top of the pecking order.
I like that.
Oh, boy.
Well, we played this game on Board Game Arena. How did it look?
It looked great. I mean, I like the actual cards kind of look like the seed going into a bird feeder.
Yep. And they didn't have like a one, two, or three value seed pile. It was just like a slightly different size from each other. It wasn't just a single seed or two or three. It was like a small, medium, and large pile of seeds.
Right, right. Yeah. So, again, seeds also have eggs on them. And so a one egg seed card had the fewest amount of seeds, but the three egg seed card had this huge pile of seeds.
Well, I wonder. Okay, so you're saying, Ed, that it had animation for the seeds?
Well, I mean, it's just like the way it lays out. It's just like there. It's just cards on top of the. No, there's a card that represents the bird feeder, and the other card that are seed kind of fall on top of them, and then they fall down.
Yeah.
It's just the way it lays out. Kind of give the. No, like, hey, I can see how this is a bird feeder. Like, it's a tube of seeds, and it's like the birds are eating out of the bottom of the tube.
Yeah. I'm that's very good. Good on you. Good on you, Board Game Arena. Yeah. Good job.
Animated. But in terms of the art itself, I mean, it looks like a nice quality pencil sketch to me, the way they're drawn.
Accurate to the species.
It's color. Yeah, very accurate. Although I'd have to say, like, I'm seeing a lot of different kinds of birds here, but a lot of them look similar. Like the bull, I think it's bullfinch and gimpel, but the what I'm seeing in the pictures is the German like names of them, I think.
Right.
But like one of them has a white stripe on his wing and a kind of a short neck and a big belly and like gray, and you know, another one is slightly differently colored and slightly different in the face. So, you know, there's a lot of birds, but you got to be careful not to mix them up.
Well, in this case, they're written on there.
Yeah, at least that helps. And they're different colors, too.
Yeah, and they're color-coded.
Yeah.
So, right.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't just look by the birds. It just kind of showed me that there's a lot of birds out there. It's really mm-hmm. what I
can't judge a bird by its feathers.
Yeah, there's so many birds. Plumage. And it's very hard to tell the difference between them. Bird watching is a tough, tough hobby.
Yeah, just ask Captain Holt.
Yeah. But yet, if, cracked into the board game arena with fervor.
I like the flourishes on the cards that are around the birds. They're very nice, and it does have a unique feel. Like we've seen other games with bird drawings and trying to look realistic and stuff, but this one definitely feels unique. And I like the way they're all sort of just standing, kind of to attention in this regal fashion. Mm-hmm. I like the way they look. And as you say, you have to guard against squirrels and other predators. And I'm thinking, where are the predator guards on your bird boxes?
That's right?
Where's your cone or your baffle to protect from the Seriously. Squirrels climbing up in the first place?
Scarecrow or something.
I don't know. If you ever watch those squirrel videos where people make like these obstacle courses for them. You can't stop a squirrel from getting them seeds if he wants them. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, Mark Rober, I think it is, made a video about that. Yeah, it's really cool.
Wow, it's wild. It's so fun. You should check that out.
Squirrel videos? That's different.
They're inventive. Yeah. They're not all cat videos, Evan.
No. Yeah. He's kind of like he is like a engineer, and he.
Yeah. Engineer, former like NASA engineer.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
And oh my gosh.
Yeah. He does all kind. We'll talk about him later. But yeah, he made a really cool squirrel video trying to like make an obstacle course for the squirrel to get into the seed box. It's great.
Sounds like he would have had an advantage playing this game.
Didn't help me avoid squirrels.
Yeah. Right. No kidding. Sometimes you just have to take the squirrel with the cards that you're getting.
I mean, I was allergic to the squirrels. I'm sorry. I would rather lose points. Like, I would rather get less points than like lose points that are apparent to me by the squirrels.
The psychology of it got the better of you.
Killed me.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I was like, you have to get the squirrel. You have to get the squirrel. Sometimes you got to lose them nuts.
Uh-huh. You're losing seeds.
Yeah, seeds. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Well, so was the avoiding squirrels that hard? Mike, are you saying you were able to avoid them or not able to avoid them?
Most of the time you could avoid them, but like you'd have to do something the difference in what bird you play to the one that you're like overtaking kind of gives you like one a higher level of seeds, and they're not necessarily better. It's just they're higher up on the chain of seeds that are coming in. So like to dodge the squirrel, you have to play sometimes like a higher card to get past the squirrel. If that makes any sense.
Right.
But the seed you get might not be as good. You can play cards
in order to keep stuff from your hand instead of taking it from the display. Mm-hmm. But that means you're not taking cards from the display. And then like, well, Mikey didn't take it. I'm going to take it. So what if I get a crow? It's going to end up more points for me.
Yeah.
But especially since I made it pair. Yeah, I made it pairs. Woo!
Made it pairs, yeah.
Bonus points!
Bonus birds.
So, Evan, you were saying you have to watch what other people are collecting.
You definitely do, because look, hey, if I'm going to go after sparrows, I'm collecting sparrows. Wait, what? Ed's also collecting sparrows? Bah! Mm-hmm. All my sparrow collection. If I'm in second place, I'm no place. I get zero points for having the second amount of eggs compared. So,
yeah, and since we start off with some cards that no one knows about, he doesn't know how many sparrows are in my hand already.
Yeah, and you refuse to tell me.
Yeah, definitely a little bit of hidden information makes you have to pay attention to what other people are doing.
Yeah, that's like a gin situation where you're playing gin and you're like, you don't know who's already got, you know, two of the cards you're looking for.
Yep, and that could ruin you too. There's a lot of luck of the draw in this game. What order things pop up in and like what you actually have in your hand.
But at the same time, yes, there is that. There's also, the game allows certain flexibility for you if you have to jump to your plan B or your plan C. It's not debilitating. It's not so crippling that you can never catch up.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah.
And there are ways to set up some combos. Like if people have been putting a lot of low cards at the feeder, and what is the duck those now cards, the squirrels and the crows, you can put a big card and end up collecting like four or five cards. And that's what I did. It's like, I get a crow, but I just got, four cards and a couple of these. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes it's worth it to take the bad card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're going to gain so much in addition to it that, that little nip at your points isn't that much. I just, like you said, psychologically, I was like, ugh, I couldn't do it.
Can't take the risk.
Nah. Because you don't lose a seed, you lose a seed card. So, it could be like a bigger seed card that you lose.
Right. No, if it's that three eggs on it, that's a lot of points.
That is a lot. That can make a difference.
Okay, explorers, it's time to dig up or bury peep mats, little songbirds. Oh. Evan?
Well, peep mats, it's a game of few components, it's just cards. But there seem to be a lot of decisions you have to make. Yeah, there's some randomness in the draw, but there's also lots of ways to victory. Changing the plan, B or C, not too detrimental to the game. So I think there's enough strategy here to keep the game interesting for multiple plays. Dig it up.
Mike?
I don't know. Like a lot of games overseas, this one kind of seemed like an abstract game with a skin slapped on top of it. Why are we collecting seeds? Why do the seeds give us egg points? How are we actually collecting birds like pears? I don't know. It didn't really do it for me. I bury it.
Ed?
Peep Math is a light card game. And I like how all the elements work together to form a puzzle that's just interesting enough for me to dig up for another play.
Do you have a feeder for little songbirds? And what's your predator control? Let us know. We are at Which Game First on all social media. Hey guys, what's going on with Which Game First?
Monday nights are Which Game First live board game night, and we tricast it. And what I mean by that is you can watch us playing it on YouTube or on Twitch or on Facebook. 8:00 East Coast time, United States. Come and join us. We're interactive with you. We're always answering your questions, having fun, playing games, including trivia with the audience, while we also try to play this board game and learn it. It's just an overall fun experience, and our audience has also been growing, which is nice to see.
And so good thing join for us board, board game arena sometime, because we get to actually play the game correctly.
Maybe. Especially when it's not in beta, right?
So good news, my friend Matthias got his game published through, it's going to be published through Kickstarter.
Nice.
He successfully funded. So congratulations to him. That's really good news.
Great.
If you want to check it out before it gets into people's hands, there's a couple festivals to look up in New Jersey. Dreamation is one. Metatopia is another one. He'll most certainly be there still playing it out for people. And a bunch of other creatives will also be there too to show off their new prototypes. So if you're in the New Jersey, Morrison area, check that out.
Very cool. Very cool. What's the name of the game again?
The game is called Zero Day War.
Okay.
It's like hacking and stuff like that. So check that out. Futuristic.
Okay, cool. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We're starting another year with Which Game First. Mm-hmm. And we have a huge back catalog if you just started listening with us. So go back to the beginning. Some of those early episodes are hilarious.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely funny. And
classic.
It also means for our patrons that if you want to join and become a patron, you will have a great back catalog of patron-only podcast episodes of
bonus points.
And a couple of secret episodes of Which Game First that are patron only. Also gives you access to our patron only Discord channel where we chat with our patrons, and it is really appreciated. And thank you very much to all our patrons. We couldn't do it without you.
Thank you very much,
thank
patrons.
Thank you all.
Our next game up this week is Tiny Towns, designed by Peter McPherson, published by Alderac Entertainment in 2019. Number of players, 1 to 6, ages 14 and up. Playtime, 45 minutes. Okay, Mike, what's in the, is it a tiny box? What's in the box?
The cover of the box shows us a bright and lively, if nearly empty, town of Tudor cottages and anthropomorphized animals. Boy, that was tough. Sorry.
That's all right. You got it.
When we look deeper inside, we find 6 player boards, 25 building cards, 15 monument cards, 15 resource cards, a score pad, 126 wooden buildings, a wooden master builder hammer, 6 wooden monuments, and 90 wooden resource cubes. And that's what's in the box.
They're so tiny. Tiny cubes.
Little tiny cubes.
Well, before we tell you if this tiny town squeaked or roared, Evan. Evan, is that you? Oh, come in.
That's me.
Come into my tiny house and give us the rules in your best tiny voice.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't ready for that. Okay.
Oh, that's a good idea going forward, Evan. We're going to torture you a way to read the rules now.
Tiny town.
Okay. No. Tiny Town's a resource management game in which players are the mayor of a tiny town deep in the woods, and you must collect raw materials to build specific types of buildings. A player's town is represented by a 4x4 grid. As you collect a resource, you must place it in one of your squares. Place your resources in certain patterns to build certain types of buildings. And when you have the resources in place for the correct pattern on your card, you remove the resources and you erect the building on one of those squares where the resources were. And you keep doing this until you have basically no more legal moves to make. Each building scores victory points in its own unique way. Any squares without a building at the end of the game are worth -1 point, Mikey. And of course, the player with the most victory points wins and graduates from being the mayor to the lord and overseer of the greatest tiny metropolis the forest has ever seen. Ooh. So it's quite and with a bump in pay as well.
Well, you got this tiny little box and you got your tweezers out because this box is only, what, 1/2 inch by 1/2 inch?
The box is actually regular size, though, for a board game box.
Right.
It's not actually a tiny box.
If the game is played through a microscope with tiny tweezers.
I mean, if you think about it, they blew up the components to a playable size for the box.
Yeah. So you did actually get to play this in person. It's such a colorful looking box. How did it look and feel?
Colorful.
Yeah. And boxy.
Nice colors on mine, the building.
Yeah.
The artwork's nice, you know. Has the buildings, has that sort of depth, the shadow, even the backgrounds, you know, the hills and the clouds and the rolling fields and stuff. So added to the whole atmosphere.
Yeah,
it's a nice collection of buildings and fields. It does look like you're kind of like, like Mikey said, a Tudor style village in the collection of pictures you have.
Yeah, except it's way more colorful than the real Tudor style. Right. Like, you know, like pink roofs on some of them and blue highlights and stuff. So if they made them like that now, I think they'd be a little more popular.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, Tudor's already pretty popular.
Yeah, it is.
And the meeples themselves, I mean, the resources are Euro cubes. Okay, fine, basic. But the meeples, the buildings themselves are neat because, you know, each different type of building is its own, you know, shape, unique, with nice little, you know, jutting features and roof lines. And like the farm has a little silo built onto it. And, you know, I just really like the meeples, these buildings.
Yeah, they look really good. The structure of the houses looks really good because we've seen some meeples, quote unquote, that have been weirdly cut. Like, they're supposed to represent something, but they don't quite look like it.
Yeah, if you turn them on their side, there's something completely different.
Right. Is this a horse? No, it's a guy riding his bike. No way.
I had to say, there's something kind of neat about handling these wooden components, though. Like, after playing a whole bunch of games online, it's like, wow, these are like small wooden cubes. These were chunky wooden cube. And the big wooden building, there's like, hey, that's kind of cool. There's something about handling
the pieces. Ed is working hard to disabuse our audience that the box is very tiny. It's not tiny. It we were just joking. Yeah. Good. Everything is full size.
Yeah. Ed's getting all technical over there. Come on.
But yes, they are. It's a really nice set. It looks like a really nice set of components and cards. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the play. You share resources?
Yeah, it's kind of a neat mechanic where one person takes decides on what resource they want. And then every other player takes the same resource.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I like that. So like everybody gets it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fun until okay, Mikey's calling for the wood resource. I don't need wood. But I don't have a choice. I have to take the wood and clog up my board somewhere. Yep. So there's a bit of a frustrating aspect.
Right. Yeah. Hey, you want clay, right? Clay's where it's
at. Absolutely. There's a lot clay. Of,
that's
you
exactly
know.
That's right there, that clay.
Right. You're trying to suggestively program the opponents to choose certain things.
And you're not banking the pieces that you don't use. You're playing those pieces.
Yeah, so that could be. I can imagine that could get
there is
nasty.
A rule. There's a rule where you can discard two resources that you don't need.
Ugh, discarding resources? Come on.
That's it.
Your mic's like, but I might use it.
I know. It's
Mike, your board is only 4x4, okay? Know, you're never using tiny. That.
And your choices become so limited towards the end. Yeah, you got this nice big grid to start with, but then once it's filled up with some houses and mm-hmm. things, you know, and you have to decide patterns, your options quickly diminish.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast that hits you too. At first, it's like, yeah, it's a hole. I got all kind of room, but I don't know wait a minute here.
Yeah. Oops, can't fit makes the oops.
I think the interesting mechanic here that kind of makes the board feel so tight is that you're kind of building out the resources into multiple spaces like a Tetris shaped piece, but mm-hmm. you're not really Tetrising them together because once you have the 4, 3, 2 resources to build the building, you scoop up those resources and put a building in only one of the spaces that those things occupy. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. kind of like a shifting board. So you really have to think ahead in this game or you'll get trapped.
Mm.
Yep.
And there's not a lot of spaces to move to.
Right.
Right. No, so you have to like, oh, I put the building here, but ooh, would that get in the way of my next building?
And it does. It really does.
And what did you guys built the factories early, right? Because those generated like special
The factory
resources.
Was cool. Yeah, the factory, what it did was it counted as
any resource.
Yeah, a resource towards like, you know, it added a resource to what you were building, like. But without going away, like it counted because when a building's on the board, it's no longer a resource, except if it's the factory. So if the factory is like a brown piece and you're trying to build something, you can build it around the factory with the other pieces that are required for that shape.
Yeah. So that factory acts as one of those resources you need to build a surrounding. Building. Yeah. Very helpful. Very cool. Helpful.
And you're saying there was a building that let you put buildings anywhere?
Oh. Yeah, there's these monuments that you can build, and only one person can build those. Not like everything else is a community thing. Everybody can build those buildings that are in the middle of the game and it's random for particular game you're playing. But there's also some unique wonder that you can build mm-hmm. if you're the first one to build mm-hmm. it. And I got one that allowed me to, when I build a building, put that building anywhere on the map. And I abused
he really that did. Ability. Honestly, the starting abilities are not balanced, I don't think.
That's crazy,
powerful.
Yeah. That really sounds really powerful.
Yeah. Like mine was giving me like bonus points for certain kinds of buildings that I built. But in comparison to, I think I got a factory out for really cheap or free like early on. Which mm-hmm. seemed really strong until I saw what Ed could do with his crazy story.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And you make one mistake, put a building in the wrong spot, like when you pick it up and you like leave the building behind. If you put it in the wrong spot, man, you could mess up a lot of points in the future.
Like, that's oh, yes.
My goodness.
Beware.
And what's kind of cool is that the interaction of the different buildings can start to stack up. And some buildings are just buildings, but some buildings get points based on other buildings. Like, hey, if as long as you know, you get points if this building's fed, and you get fed by having farms. And so you're going to want to have like a farm and the right roof to feed your houses. And then, oh, well, okay, now I'm going to want to put a trading post, and it counts for different things in the column. So mm-hmm. like, oh, I want to make sure I have everything different in this. So you're trying to manage a whole bunch of the things while also trying to shoehorn resources into just the right places.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, yeah, it really teaches you about city planning and the seriousness and the, you know, complexity of it all. That's really what this game is all about.
And it's the most stripped down version of city planning, like compared to real city planning. And it's still difficult.
Imagine what real life city planners have to go through. Holy moly.
Yeah. That's right. Nothing gets done for years.
No kidding.
It's true. You build that roundabout in the wrong spot, man, your whole city's screwed.
Okay, explorers, it's time to dig up or bury tiny towns. What about you, Mike?
Oh, my God.
Well, this is one of those games where you play it once, get frustrated, and then play it again to try a whole different strategy. Dig it up.
Over and over. What about you, Evan?
Oh, my God.
I hope somebody's
gosh.
Listening to this at 1.5 times speed.
Tiny Towns, it's a light resource management game. A good introduction to the concept for players unfamiliar and makes for a pretty good family game. It's not too long, not too complicated. So I think medium to heavy gamers might tire after a few plays, Ed. But otherwise, the game works. Dig it up.
Lots of character. Very nice, Evan.
That was nice. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well done. You're getting a second callback.
Oh, yay!
Hey, Ed. Ed,
what do you think, Ed?
I enjoyed handling the little wood pieces in the game. It's quite simple. The building would look really neat on your little 4x4 town, especially after you work to put some shoehorned resources right into place. Yay! So I'm going to dig this up for a few more plays.
I think Ed is like 3 inches tall while the rest of us are 2 inches tall because he has the deepest voice.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
I'm just impressed with the effort.
Like Ed is the raccoon, while the rest of us are like mice.
Yeah, right.
We're the squeaky.
I was thinking I could also go, I enjoyed handling those.
save it for Giant Town.
Yeah, right.
Which comes in a tiny box. What's your favorite tiny theme game? Let us know on Which Game First.
And our last game up this week is, shifting gears. Kingdoms.
Kingdoms.
Designed by Rozier J.C. Oyevar. Published by self-published in 2016. Number of players 3 to 5. Playtime, ages 12 and up. Playtime 20 to 50 minutes. Tell us, Mike, what doth be in the Kingdoms box?
The cover of the box shows an array of expressionless nobles posing stoically in a frame of their house colors. When we wander the hallowed halls of this castle, we see 84 cards! And that's what's in the box.
All right, we could easily go off the reservation with this whole thing. So
it's all voices from now on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do have one more. I have one more. Before we tell you if this game fought well or rolled over, hear ye, Sir Evan will now present the rules.
Kingdoms is a card game where you use your hand of cards to battle opponents against them to win other cards that can make your kingdom complete.
Huzzah!
Yeah. The deck contains 3 sets, red, yellow, and blue. Each set is numbered 1 through 9, and there are also some non-suited treasure cards.
Treasure.
You're going to group your cards. So, cards numbers 1, 2, 3, that represents people. Cards 4, 5, and 6, that is the army. Mm-hmm. Cards 7, 8, 9, that's a court. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the 1, 2, 3, the people cards, those are worth a half point. The army cards 4, 5, 6, that's worth a point. And the court 7, 8, 9, that's worth 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those points will come into play like this. Now, each turn, there's going to be a card turned over in the center of the table, and you're going to fight the other players for that. You do that by taking a card out of your hand and playing it down. It's going to be the number value of that card, plus if you have an army in front of already laid out in front of you or a court laid out in front of you, you get to add those points. So if I play a five and I have a court out in front of me, that's five plus two because the court is worth two. That's a seven. That's my seven bid in order to win the card in the middle of the table so that I can pick that card up and put it in my hand if I need it. And then you can return cards to your hand. And of course, oh, flag patterns. Yes. As you play these cards out, as you play your peoples or your armies or your court, you're establishing a color order.
Right.
And that becomes your flag. And you and the goal of the game is to be the first player to build all three types, people, army, and court, using the same flag pattern. And that is what gets you to victory. So be the first to do that. And then you're able to reign over all the kingdom. Here is your crown, your majesty.
Well, you played this on Board Game Arena. How did it look?
For cards, I thought the characters were well drawn. And it's a little interesting that the cards are tilted like sideways, the square card tilted sort of the diamond shape. So it presented. No, a little bit different view of looking at it.
Yeah.
Although I got to say, in person, I would not want to shuffle square cards and then hold them in my hand in a diamond array. But online, it was good.
It looks like the analog version, the in-game, you know, the in-person version has a card sleeve of some kind that you get to hold your cards for you so that they are upright in that diamond pattern. So that's kind of a neat extra, you know, little component.
Yeah, it comes with like a little booklet for you to open and hold your cards in. That's that does look neat.
Yeah.
I wonder how it plays with the booklet. Yeah. I like the art as well. It's really well drawn. These look like maybe pencil drawing style, but you know, probably computer, but not computer generated. I wouldn't say it doesn't look like AI art or anything. And they are, I like the flavor across. It definitely has that medieval feel. So I think it does look nice. And yeah, I like the idea of a different shape for a card. So you were saying, Evan, in the rules that you have to make the flag color first?
Yeah, you establish your pattern. And as soon as you put out one of those three sets, you know, the 1, 2, 3, or the 4, 5, 6, or the 7, 8, 9, you've established the pattern of your flag. So this is where the colors come into play. If, let's say, your pattern for your 1, 2, 3 is blue, blue, red, then when you go to play your 4, 5, 6, it has to be that same pattern, blue, blue, red.
Interesting.
And your 7, 8, 9, blue, blue, red.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Talk about burning your brain out. My God. Yeah. Because you have to switch gears sometimes because of what you gain and lose. So if you're trying to establish patterns in your hand, you could really lose your mind trying to keep track of
everything. Okay, yes. But I wonder if the book would help you in that regard to keep things in better order.
Yeah, I think it might.
It seems like it has a way of kind of, shortening and collecting your cards, seeing potential melds, as it were.
Yeah.
Because you are essentially playing a rummy style game. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to find the right meld, but you can choose what meld you want. And in a sense, like you said, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go for blue, 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 all blue, all blue all day. But that means I better hope that none of you guys are blue.
Well, right. Plus, as soon as somebody plays one of these sets down in front of them, you know exactly what they're going for.
Right.
And that gives the other players a big advantage to try to thwart you from collecting more of those colored pattern cards.
Right. So it seems like the advantage might be to make sure to diversify your colors, like have three different colors. That way it's harder for other people to keep track.
Or make sure you're not playing for the same pattern as somebody else is really important too. Like, because if somebody is going for red, red, blue, red, you better be blue, red, blue or something. So you're not crossing them over on that.
So you're not trying to compete for the same exact amount of cards.
The same set.
And your hand is potentially getting larger too, because you can win more than one card in a bid, which is interesting. A card comes up and people bid their existing card for it. And it can go another round. And basically the loser gets to keep the other player's bid.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. It's an interesting moving around of all these cards.
You know, sometimes what you want is the card that you shed or let somebody else shed rather than to win the bid instead of the bid. Sometimes you don't want the bid.
Mahina. Yeah, right.
Sometimes. Yeah, I can hear my brain burning now.
Exactly. Sometimes you're trying to get the garbage cards because they fit your pattern better than the bid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Although high cards are always good because you can win the things you need to win, but also you eventually have to play those high cards out onto the table. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
It's like a simple game. Like there's not, rules wise, there's not a lot of things you need to remember. High cards take lower cards and you need a pattern of certain numbers to win. But man, when you're trying to figure out how to get that into your hand with random stuff flipping out in the middle of the board and your random assortment of cards, it gets tricky.
Yeah, you're constantly reanalyzing your hand practically with every turn to see if that a card comes up that will unlock a nice chain of events for you by which, my gosh, this card gets me like 90% of the way to victory. I have to have that one.
I can see that, yeah.
And there is an advantage to putting your cards out, even though it kind of, shows where everybody you're going for. Now your bidding power is that much higher. I mean, even a half a point, now, instead of an 8, that's an 8.5.
Yep. Yep. Those lower people cards, they help.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. Explorers, it is time to dig up or bury kingdoms. What say you, Ed?
Kingdoms is a nice take on a rummy style game. I'll give it some points for adding some new twists. It isn't a game I'm particularly excited about playing again. So, give it a light berry.
Mike.
This simple looking game had a lot of complexity buried beneath the surface. I could smell the smoke coming out of my brain every single turn. usually I don't like too much trick taking stuff, but like this here, trick taking is not the right word. I guess you're looking for set collection. But this one had complexity enough for me to dig it up.
Evan.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Mike. Kingdoms, it's an interesting card game. There's a lot of push and pull and having to sacrifice some cards to gain others. It's a race against time as much as it is a battle of armies. An interesting game worth more exploring. Dig it up.
Well, what rummy game do you bust out when it's time? Let us know. We're at Which Game First. And that brings us to the end of our show. We look forward to hearing from all of our game explorers. Definitely reach out to us. We'd love to talk to you. If you'd like more perks and content from us, just go to our website and click on Become a Patron today. And for just $3 a month, you'll get access to our patron-only podcast called
Bonus Points.
Bonus Points.
Join our chat on our Discord channel. We are at Which Game First on all social media. And if you get a chance, please leave us a review somewhere. It really helps. Happy gaming, explorers.
Hey, squirrel, get away from my seeds. Crow, oh no.
Let's get ready to rummy.
Perchance, do you have a peasant of two?
Yes, me lord.